Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. Today we thought we'd mix it up a little bit and go and talk to someone who's got frontline experience, especially at the moment, in what's being shipped and why, and also about the courier situation in the UK. We also wanted to delve into how delivery is not a commodity and also is a really important part of getting your customer service right and making sure you get the next sale. So we've brought on James Hayes, who's the Director of Business Development at Parcel Hub. He's been working in couriers and parcel delivery since 2010. So he's seen such big changes in the industry, and also there's a lot of insight that Ian and James talk about on today's podcast. So let's get started.
Okay, hi guys, it's Ian Hammersley here. Hope you're all okay. Today we decided that we would do a podcast with James Hayes from the Parcel Hub, and so he's on the other line, and I'm gonna let him talk in a minute. And but essentially, we were chatting in London during an event. We had a really interesting conversation about what happens with your delivery and customer service, and why delivery companies, wrongly, are considered a commodity by the e-commerce business, in my opinion, and how it's a vital part of the whole customer experience and what effect it has. So we had a really interesting chat over a couple of beers, actually, at the station, and I thought we should talk about it. So James, nice to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me on. It's a bit of a privilege.
It's good. It's good to mix it up. So it's normally just my brother and I. But I think before we start, just to give everybody a sort of coronavirus bit of an update, because essentially what James does is sits. We're both in a position where we see a lot of different e-commerce businesses. Rather than just looking at one in silo, we're looking at multiple clients. So James, just give us a flavor of who's growing during this time and what sort of interesting things are happening.
I just look at what I'm buying online, I suppose. I've got wheelbarrows and paint and things for the garden and slip slides for the kids and toys and learning things for the kids. So any retailer that's selling anything that you can use in the home for fun or for practicality or something for the kids is just booming.
They're
the ones that we're seeing really grow. Tools, people are doing all the DIY jobs that they never got done whilst they're on furlough.
Whereas
fashion is sort of quite slowing down. But interestingly, even with fashion, Next opened their website again after being down for a week on Monday evening, and by the following morning, 8 a.m, they turned it off again because they'd been overwhelmed with orders. Yeah. So, but I mean, Next do what, had 70 million orders a year or something incredible online. So, home, garden, leisure, those are the guys that are really peaking. We've got one customer, he's 500% up, 500% up on his February numbers in March.
Yeah, it's amazing. In a similar position. Some clients have done like 6 months worth of stock in 2 weeks. So I think it's anything around the home. And I was having a chat yesterday with a company that sells food online, and they said to me it was like running a national TV campaign, in terms of the exposure that they were getting. In terms of the opportunity to like grow their customer database. It's phenomenal, and it's just making change happening. And like people are buying things online that they would just not have bought online before.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's opportunities there for businesses that are not normally online as well.
Yeah. So
the more traditional wholesalers, or you know, the businesses that sell to shops or sell to online retailers, are having to rethink their strategy.
Yeah.
Online themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Is keeping the economy, not keeping it going, but it's certainly having a huge support.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting to see that, isn't it? And so I think in terms of what we were chatting about, James, what you were talking about in London about a couple of clients that you work with and about the reviews, and we're looking at, because essentially one of the things that we always look at is we say, have a look at the reviews that your competitors get on Trustpilot or anywhere, and you look at the middle reviews and what they're saying, and you then work out what they're anxious about, and then you plow that back into your actual site and your whole marketing. So just tell me that story that you talked about.
Yeah. So this was some stats that were done by Trustpilot, and they pulled out a bunch of review scores from several hundred retailers, online retailers, and analysed what the reason for the poor feedback was, so 1, 2, or 3 star. And it was around 2/3 of those poor reviews were all related to after the buy button incident. So that could be mostly delivery issues, late, didn't turn up, query with the tracking, something along those lines, or out of stock issues, something within the warehouse at the retailer that they didn't get right. But most of it was weighted towards poor delivery experience of some form. Communication is very high up on that as well. People just don't know when their delivery's coming. That really pisses people off.
Yeah. So I think you were saying it was like 80% of the negative reviews were around the delivery problem. Yeah. With the delivery.
Yeah.
And how the companies dealt with it. Like, God, you know, it didn't turn up. I'd phoned the company, couldn't get through. It was on the, you know, no one responded. You know, it was wasn't it?
It is. Yeah. So I didn't get a text message. The driver didn't leave it in a safe place, or there was no messaging to tell me that I'd missed the delivery. I didn't get the card. The driver says they couldn't find my address, but they couldn't have looked hard enough.
Yeah.
But you could almost bring all of that back to communication and fix most of these issues with communication. Yeah. And that being proactive with communication with your customers.
And you can turn someone who has a negative experience, and by treating them well, you can actually make them much more positive than they would have been, even if they hadn't had an initial negative experience.
Absolutely, we encounter this every day because people outsource their customer service to Parcel Hub, so we will speak to the retailer's customers as the retailer and give them a nice delivery experience. And the number of times we'll phone somebody up and say, "Hello, Mr. Customer, I'm really sorry, but you actually didn't complete your address properly at checkout, so the parcel's stuck in the warehouse. Let me just check this information and we'll get that out to you tomorrow." And the consumer's thinking, well, that was unusual. Nobody ever phoned when there's an issue with the delivery. It just fails. And we do that for all sorts of different reasons. And retailers can do this themselves. They don't need to outsource, but you know, arguably I'd say you should. If you call your customer and say, "I'm sorry that there's a delay in the network, or the courier has mistakenly misrouted this parcel, it should be with you today, but I'm sorry it's not going to be, but it will be tomorrow," and maybe you offer them a five pound discount on the next order or something, but you've taken that what would have been a failed delivery, or is still going to be a failed delivery, into something positive by phoning the customer, engaging with them, and telling them that you love them as a customer and they want them to spend more money next time. And that turns that negative into a positive.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the interesting stat here is, what effect it has on lifetime customer value. So how many times they buy again, their repeat purchase, and also the recruitment. And it's so, it just does not make sense why, as an e-commerce business owner, the delivery is like treated like, let's get the cheapest, let's push our delivery company down as far as we can. Right, we've saved 1p, because it's such a vital part of the whole experience for the end customer. And I've seen this. We've tracked the lifetime customer value for loads of different metrics. We've got a bit of software that we put on all our client sites, and it basically tracks lifetime customer value by what they did in the first time they bought. So what did they buy? What was the first SKU or product they bought? Where did they come from? What was their delivery choice? Was it like next day, guaranteed Saturday delivery? And we track the lifetime customer value based on what they did initially. And you can see things like, if somebody does choose guaranteed next day delivery, they are much more loyal in the main than everyone else who just had a 3 to 5 day. It's like, it has an effect on the lifetime customer.
No, you're absolutely right. And giving those, people don't look at lifetime value of a customer often enough. And you're absolutely right. Delivery is seen by a lot of retailers as, let's bash the price down, let's get it as cheap as possible. But you fail the delivery, you've lost that customer. Potentially, there's a very strong chance that they're not going to come back to you.
And if you sell, they leave a bad experience.
They leave a bad bad review on Trustpilot, and they tell 10 of their friends. So it's more than,
and just, that affects the recruitment. And we've had some clients where they're selling. So we're working with a company that's doing home gym equipment, and we were like looking at the reviews, and people are really, really anxious about delivery because it's like a massive item and there's loads of problems. You have to have a day off work, and people like really freak out about it. It's a big decision. And it's like, you look at the businesses that have really scaled in the States, and there's like one of them that's done really well, and all they say is fast, secure delivery. That's like one of the big things that they talk about. And it's like, so they're using it as a recruitment method. So the more anxious people are, the more important that, you've got to sue. So, they won't buy from you if you think, it's going to be a really bad experience. And that, so certainly for the higher average order value products, it's really key. So it affects recruitment as well. Because, if you have bad reviews and bad, star ratings, it obviously affects people's trust in your business.
Yeah.
It also affects the lifetime customer value.
Absolutely. It's very much two. There's no back at the moment. I bought an exercise bike from a UK retailer. I won't name them. And that was 2.5 weeks ago I made the purchase and made the payment. I've not had any communication apart from an automatic, we've got your order. No update on where the delivery is. No update on if there's a delay, if there's a supply chain issue, which I expect there probably is. But I've had no communication. So I'm just left in no man's land. And I'm very unlikely to go back to them because they've not communicated with me, kept me updated with what's going on.
It's so simple. So obvious when you think about it, isn't it?
It's so obvious.
It's like, Jesus Christ, it's such an important part of the whole customer experience. Absolutely. And like I say, 80% of bad reviews are bad reviews. That issue, delivery.
I know. And imagine you've paid whatever your pay-per-click costs are to get a consumer to buy from you, 10 quid, 15, 20, higher in some cases. 80% of them are not coming back, potentially. Yeah. Wasting your money. You're wasting that acquisition cost by not doing something simple, by effectively communicating, keeping the customer engaged and enthused about wanting to wait for that parcel.
I mean, it's the ultimate metrics. It's like the number one in e-commerce, you know, it's how much does it cost us to recruit a customer in the first place? And then how much is that customer worth to us in a lifetime?
Exactly.
You know, and that's the fundamental maths of it. And then, you know, if you figure that out, then you know, and the businesses that really scale, they understand the power of lifetime customer value. And so when you look at people like HelloFresh and Gusto and all these kind of companies, like, you know, they know that they can make a loss on the first purchase because they've got a great experience, great product, people love them, and they buy again and again and again.
Yes.
It's like, it's a fundamental part. You know, if you've got a business that's got a low average order value and a low repeat business, it's really hard to scale.
Yes.
You know, it's just part of the fundamental maths of it all. And it's like how it fits in.
Yeah. And there's so many tools out there that you can communicate with your customers proactively and effectively, and retailers aren't using them enough. And I think those ones that were a little bit of sort of coronavirus, anybody that's using a communications software, something like Freshdesk or Reply Manager, those sort of things, they've been able to put the staff at home and communicate continuously with the customers. Those that are just working off an inbox are really struggling to communicate with customers. And it's now starting to bite them in the bum, because they're able to communicate because they haven't got the tools to do it. I think it's now more than ever is apparent that communication is so important.
Yeah.
And the ones that get it right, certainly at the moment, are going to continue and have a lot more loyal customers once this all passes.
Well, it's the easiest way to be more profitable from an e-commerce business. It's you just get your existing customers to buy again.
Exactly.
It's like, it's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
So whereas I think we all, you know, the natural assumption is, right, we've got to recruit new customers all the time. We've got to keep, come on, let's recruit new customers. It's like, well, hang on. What about the existing customers, and, you know, and making them have a better experience, and, you know, getting more people to buy again? It's so important.
Absolutely.
And it's such a sort of secondary thought.
Yeah. I agree. It's not for me. It's very, very front and center. We do our best to help our customers understand the importance of certainly delivery, because that's what we're in. But we don't just talk to them about delivery. We'll try and find out problems that they've got through the whole supply chain.
Right.
And if we can get our customers working more effectively, they're going to send more parcels, so we're going to grow.
Exactly.
And they're going to grow. It's just win-win for everybody.
And I think people are getting a lot more aware of it now. We're like, you know, e-commerce obviously is maturing. You know, 10 years ago, you might expect to not know, you know, it's not going to be live tracked or, you know, but now it's not good enough to have, you know, an uncompetitive delivery option. You know, I mean, if you're selling other people's product, because a lot of our clients sell their own brand, you know, and we talk a lot about the difference of the e-commerce strategy. If it's your own brand of product or you're selling other people's brands.
Yeah.
And how it's fundamentally different strategy. But if you are selling, you know, I understand where it becomes tight, but it's even more important, like AO.com, you know, sells other people's products, but they're very successful because they basically, they say, well, you know, we know that people are going to buy on price availability. So they made sure their customer service was brilliant.
Yes.
So that you could choose the slot when you wanted to get that washing machine delivered, and the guys would come and they would take away the old, you know, washing machine. Like, the only way for them to differentiate themselves, because they were selling other people's products, was through customer service.
Experience, absolutely.
Yeah. There's nothing else like they could do. So if you're selling other people's products, it's even more important. And obviously, if you're selling your own brand, you know, it's all part of that experience and the customer, and it really affects the lifetime customer value. So it's not a commodity, and I think it's natural. Like, it's the perception of customer service and delivery is going to change over time, and I think we're just sort of saying, hey, you know, we're spotting the effect on the maths that it has on lifetime customer value. And I think in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years to come, like if people listen to this podcast, they'll be like, obviously it has effect, you know, massive effect on your lifetime customer value. You can't give people a bad experience. And I think we're just sort of calling it now.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting, this. So when people approach Parcel Hub or Whistle and say, can I have a price, please? And it's always just price bashing, trying to get the cheapest possible deal, the lowest pence on that particular item. And we do our best to steer it away from that, not because we want to charge more, because we want retailers to see the value that delivery can have for them as a business and as a retailer. And once you take the conversation away from, are you a pound and a penny, let's decide over that penny, you turn it into, what experience are we going to, how are we going to improve the experience of our consumers to make them come back and buy more product? And that then changes the landscape, changes the conversation. And the ones that get it, it's phenomenal. You can see their growth. Honestly, the phenomenal rate of growth from these retailers that embrace what we say, embrace communication and proactive work, they work. They scale, they sell more products, they keep their customers for longer, and they acquire new customers without having to pay for them, because those loyal customers that have had a good experience tell their friends and family, who then come and buy, and that's then a free acquisition.
And I believe that the a brand is created by people who consume the product, and you know, and that's how it starts. So the more customers you get, the that's how you grow a brand. It isn't through, you know, marketing and logos and stuff. It's the people that buy into your customers become the brand, and that's how the brand starts. So you've got to give them a good experience. Yeah, totally.
You know, that is a community. It's not it's a monster business out of nowhere, but it's a community. People are so engaged with that brand.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It's really, really interesting. And my opinion is, you know, if you're selling your own products, you know, the biggest lever you've got often is your pricing architecture and why, you know, put your prices up, because no one can compare. If it's your own brand of, you know, whatever, homeware or, you know, clothes, or, you know, put your prices up. We often say put your prices up to do a bigger deal, to get the offer architecture right. So why not just do the same thing for you? Well, you know, you basically need to take away all the anxieties people have when buying online. And that, a big anxiety is the delivery, and what happens if I have to return it, and what do I have to be in? You know, can I track the delivery? When, you know, do I have to take a time off work? You know, all that stuff. It's a massive, massive anxiety, because you're asking people to buy something online and then it's going to be delivered to you. Yeah. Like, it's part and parcel of the whole experience. So, you know, it's a real worry. So get it right. Spend the most you can on the best experience for the customer. Don't scrimp on that. Don't try and save, you know, 15p. You've got to think about the overall contribution to your growth and your margin, not just, I can get 50p knocked off my delivery. Because how many customers are you going to lose?
Yeah.
You know, what effects that going to have on your lifetime customer value? And if you could see it, if you could see what we could see, how, you know, the lifetime customer value is far higher for the customers that actually pay for that premium next day delivery, you'd go, oh my God, let's give everybody premium next day delivery for free.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got one of our champion customers, Charles Bentley. They are a brand owner. They sell their own product. They sell other people's stuff as well. But they are in the home garden leisure space currently and are enjoying that rise. But they embrace communication and proactive action with customers. They use software that communicates through social media, so people can contact them on Facebook and WhatsApp, etc., to chase deliveries. And they are just overwhelmed with orders, existing customers, new customers, more than probably they would be, definitely would be, just because of coronavirus increases. They've got such a huge loyal customer base because they treat them like the AO, they're basically the AO flavor of customer is king. You know, we want to keep you engaged, keep you informed, and we want you to come back and buy from us again.
It's part of the maths. Exactly.
Totally part of the maths.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And then we'll have to try to pull some sort of nice little infographic together about this, won't we? You know, we can sort of, because it's like, it's just proving the numbers. It's proving that it's worth, not a cost, and what effect it has on those metrics.
Absolutely. It's well documented that the 2/3 of bad reviews are delivery related. There's lots of stats analysis on that. And all you need to do is go on to a retailer's Trustpilot scores and just search yourself, and you'll see them. You just see them there, one after the other. Delivery, delivery late, problem, driver.
And they're not going to buy again. You know, they might take a risk on the first purchase. But if you've got bad reviews, it's going to put them off, isn't it? Absolutely. I think it's just part of that whole like market square test. It's like going through, right, what are people anxious about? You know, what are their objections? And you just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Get rid of them absolutely. All.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's possible. Not all. That's never possible. But you can certainly do a huge impact and improve what you do. If you are getting 80% of your feedback because of delivery, you've got a problem. You need to fix it. And there are ways, there are many ways to do that. And communication is one of the biggest points.
You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we talk to clients and they go, right, we're really pro our customer. And, you know, if anyone's got a problem, we'll always return it. You know, really no questions asked. And I'm like, well, why are you not shouting about that? On the product page, basket page, the email, remarketing things. And they're like, well, you know, it's in there, isn't it? It's sort of in our terms. But that's like, yeah, but no one's going to see that. Like, you know, it has to be front and center. Like, we've got like this nanosecond, we've got like 3 seconds before people get bored. And, you know, it's just a massive, massive part. Hey, well, I've really enjoyed chatting.
Yeah,
about
same.
That.
Love chatting about it. It's my favourite subject. It's great.
It's been really cool. So we'll put in the show notes your details, and anyone's got any questions about it, just let us know.
Fabulous.
Put you in touch.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers, Ian.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks, James.
Be well. See ya.
Cheers. Bye.